Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from 2 Kings. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know, but keep silent." Elisha said to them, "Elijah, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, and as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water with the water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into the heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see them, he grasped his own clothes and tore them to pieces. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us recite the psalm responsibly. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken, calling the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Our Zion, perfect in its beauty, God shines forth in glory.
Our God will come and will not keep silence with a consuming fire before and a roundabout of raging storm.
God calls the heavens and the earth from above to witness the judgment of the people.
Gather before me, my loyal followers, those who have made a covenant with me and sealed it with sacrifice.
The heavens declare the righteousness of God's cause, for it is God who is judge.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is God, it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. The narrator puts it bluntly about Peter. For he did not know what he was saying. One of the easy challenges for faithful people to get caught up in includes encountering events like the transfiguration of Jesus and trying to explain what it means. Some offer this as a passing of the mantle. The Agnes Dei cartoon plays with this idea. Of course, in their time before Moses and Elijah passed their mantle to the mantle of their ministry to people of their time. But neither Joshua for Moses nor Elisha for Elijah stand out like Moses and Elijah in the history and in the psyche of the faith community. Indeed, one expectation included the notion that Elijah would indeed show up as a precursor to the Messiah's appearance. So perhaps Perhaps Moses and Elijah offer pointers to the new boss. And God, the voice from the cloud, seals it with the word, "Listen to him." In what ways does this congregation pass the mantle to a new generation? While Mark's gospel does not tell the content of the conversation, other gospels suggest that indeed Jesus discusses with Moses and Elijah his next steps. And the journey leads to Jerusalem, to a week of escalating conflict with religious leaders, to crucifixion, death, and resurrection. In fact, that whole 6 days later thing about that started this episode references the first time that Jesus told his disciples where his ministry would lead: betrayal, crucifixion, and resurrection on the third day. Confronting the powers has costs. But for humanity, indeed for creation, this progression brings the promise of new life. In what ways does this congregation embrace the challenge and the promise of resurrection? For some, the witness of this event falls squarely in the realm of authority. While figuring out who carries the mantle of being the boss offers one way of thinking, authority is a more expansive implication. In fact, Jesus preaches from the beginning with authority that people have not experienced for a long time. His message challenges so much of how things get done in that culture. He turns things upside down, cares for the poor, for the hopeless, for the weak. In fact, while Taylor Swift fashions herself as an anti-hero, one could argue that Jesus humbling himself, taking on the form of humanity, submitting to death, and ultimately being glorified by all that is divine, represents the ultimate anti-hero status and authority. In what ways does the church, does this congregation acknowledge the profound authority of Jesus in his weakness and humility? Mountaintop moments could also invite the faithful into considering who they relate to. Andrew, while having been one of the first four disciples, did not get invited to the mountaintop. One can only imagine what that might have felt like. James and John, well, Mark doesn't tell how they responded. Well, except the narrator does tell that they were terrified. The Old Testament certainly has many stories of people fearing for their lives in the midst of encounters with the holy, with the divine. Peter starts talking. One campus ministry colleague calls it panic babble. Peter can often receive a certain amount of ridicule for his response. He is an easy mark. But really, how would anyone respond in a moment like this? Because, well, none have experienced moments like this before and quite probably after. Freezing and panic babble function as quite reasonable responses. Certainly in the image in front of you, you've got one disciple laying out flat on his back, kind of freaked out, and another one who's got his hands over his face. And then you've got, I'm guessing it's Peter. I have an idea. David Lowe's, in several of his books whose titles start with making sense of, often offers the invitation to sit with the story. Wonder about the mystery, the power, the beauty, the grace of this moment. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. In this moment, the church stands in a time in between seasons. The epiphany of our Lord in that time that has followed has offered the faithful opportunity to grow into and witness the ongoing and emerging revelation of Jesus and his ministry. Shepherds responded to guidance from an angel and an angel chorus. Magi followed a star, a light in the sky. Through this time, the church has seen ways that Jesus represented light shining in our midst. He announces the reign of God come near. He teaches with authority, exercises authority over spirits and illness. By the time of the transfiguration, he has also exercised authority over storms and nature as well. All of these mark his presence, well, in the Gospel of Mark's words, as the author announces it at the very beginning, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. On the other side, Lent looms. With Ash Wednesday, the church hears Jesus teaching on faith practices. The church reflects on God's covenants and how Jesus invites all faithful people into renewed relationship with the divine. And the church walks toward remembering his betrayal, crucifixion, and resurrection. Such in-between times can feel dangerous, challenging, disorienting. They can induce panic babble or fainting or freezing. In this liminal time, a voice from the cloud announces, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." The voice confirms all the evidence throughout the gospel and also sets a trajectory of following Jesus into an unknown future. It's true for those first disciples and perhaps so too for us today. The narrator tells what happens next. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Perhaps now is a time to sit with Jesus, to note all that we have witnessed and wonder individually and together what this could mean. Certainly, it is time to listen to Jesus.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.